Our gospel reading this morning is from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, home of Lazarus, who Jesus had raised from the dead. Lazarus and his sisters hosted a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who joined him at the table. Then Mary took an extraordinary amount, almost 3/4 of a pound, of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, then wiped his feet dry with her hair. The house was filled with the aroma of the perfume. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, complained, "This perfume was worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money bag and would take what was in it. Then Jesus said, "Leave her alone. This perfume was to be used in preparation for my burial, and this is how she used it. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me."
And that smell totally fills our lives and transforms us. We might be scandalized by the waste and the extravagance, but in the end, the gesture, the passion, the statement are far more important than the meanness that we're often so caught up in. In our world where we start to worry about everything. Will we have enough? Do I have enough? What do I have? All the advertising tells us you don't have enough. You need to have more. And we want to gather more and more to ourselves. And we can't help but do it. And then we're confronted by those images on TV of the Syrian crisis and seeing people now, as the weather changes, living in the dirt and the mud, trying to find some food, some water, trying to find a way forward. And do we become more mean? Do we begin to shut doors, build fences, keep people out, decide who's in and who's out? And by in, we mean who's with us and they're out. What does this story say to us of the over-the-top, extravagant, passionate, perhaps even poisonous love of God? It's a love that permeates every part of our being, and it won't let us remain the same. We might be so overwhelmed by that love that we just want to go away from it. We may not like the smell. We might say, "No, I don't want anything to do with it." We might be someone who's trying to share that love, and sometimes it gets rejected. Sometimes we decide that love is really just for us. Us in the first world. Us lovely white Protestant people. Until we're challenged by this story, a story that comes to us from the Middle East. The story of a woman who may well have been a prostitute in real life, offering Jesus love, love that is extravagant and over the top, knowing that he shares that love as well. John's narrative invites us to share God's life in the way that God shares life with us, like life-giving streams in the desert, like finding a waterhole in the wilderness. That's what God's love is like. And like our outback, after all the rain that's been coming, and it starts to fill those creeks and streams and begins to fill Lake Eyre, and suddenly there is life where there was nothing. Who's been out to the outback and seen what happens after the rain? Has anyone seen it? Jenny would definitely have seen many times what happens when the wet season comes through and suddenly dry desert becomes filled with abundant life. That's the sort of image we've got coming to us from our Old Testament lesson, but also from this vision that we have with Mary and Jesus. John's narrative invites us to share God's life in the way God shares love with us. We use the word passion to describe the climax of this story. Passion is a word that's often misused. Our world almost uses it as, well, an equivalent for passionate relationships, ones that are filled with bodily heat and risk and daring and bravado. Passion puts us in a place where we usually don't like to be, certainly after the age of 50. We kind of think passion should have been over by now. But if we go back to the linguistic roots, we discover that passion does not mean hot, steamy sex. Passion actually means suffering. And that's why we refer to the stories of Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, the stories that are coming up, as we refer to them as the passion stories. If we think this through, then I reckon we can understand something fairly important about God and about our call to be like God and about our challenge to be passionate people. And it's that love and suffering are intimately connected in a way that can't actually be separated. If we're going to love passionately, if we're going to love with the passion of God, then, yep, we might suffer. That may not sound like good news, but it is the truth. It is the truth of sharing God's love. It means sometimes we need to give up something ourselves. We might need to give up our closed-mindedness. We might need to give up our futile attempts to build walls and to build things that will keep others out. Whether that's in our own lives, personally, or whether that's corporately, how we live our lives socially. The great theme of John's Gospel is that God loves us all people and all creation. So much so that God gave us a human expression that will be the total expression of love for us. And more than that, this human expression of love that we see in Jesus is God's great gift that is poured out over us, over the world, over all who believe, over all who don't believe, over all humanity. It's poured out with the same extravagance that we see in this story today. And I wonder, do we get it? Do we get it? Or do we, like Judas, stand back, not see the invitation to throw ourselves into life and love, but rather go, what a waste. What a waste. Well, it is a waste. It certainly is. This is a wasteful, extravagant understanding of love that just gives out continuously. If we are to love, then we are to love passionately. And if you love passionately, there will be pain. This pain, this suffering, is in opening ourselves up. It means that we might need to scrutinize our own lives and relationships. Are they passionate? Do we want them to be? Where do we spend energy? In protecting ourselves, in holding back, so that we might not be hurt? Are we afraid to share our thoughts, to discuss and admit our failures? Can we admit weakness and say sorry and even face rejection? If passion means suffering, then it will mean all of these things. We are not here talking about a love that is restrained and held back. This is a love that is completely self-giving. Do we wonder why things might have gone cold in our lives? Have we lost the means of being passionate, the courage to risk being hurt or to be criticised? The courage just simply to love. How do we live that out in every part of our lives? How will we with God make a way in the desert? How will we, like God and with God, bring life where life does not seem to be? Today, if nothing else, as you smell that fragrance on the back of your hand, be embraced by the fragrance of God's love and go and share that love in your lives and in your dreams. Let us pray. Jesus, you love us passionately as you are anointed with an extravagant gift of love. And so you anoint us with the passionate gift of your life. Give us the courage to live passionately. Give us the desire to live life as you show us how to live. Let us live expansively in your spirit, for you are our lover. You are our passion. You are our hope. Amen.